Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, like a book club for people who hate reading. This week was our theater picks. We did Kingsman, The Secret Service. We bring you movie news. And this week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, hello. Ryan Preston.
The old guy's still here.
Yep, he hasn't died.
Somehow I managed to make another one.
A description of the Kingsman.
Johnny or Rob?
The spy organization recruits an unrefined but promising street kid into the agency's ultra-competitive training program just as the global threat emerges from a twisted tech genius.
So I wanted to ask, because after the end of this, my first opinion was this is kind of like the British spiritual successor if Lex could kill.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was saying before. I said, basically, If Looks Could Kill.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this is after really seeing it, because I was on the fence, because it has, you know, there's been a couple of movies that are similar that have young kids be
Spy Kids?
Well, there's also that Cody
Banks.
You're
comparing
Banks.
Spy Kids?
No, there's that Agent Cody Banks.
What was that? There was one of those movies that was actually, no, it was a superhero one, never mind. That was Sky High.
Yeah. But there have been other ones that have kind of the similar premise, but this is the first one I think that's actually been good.
Have you guys bothered to look at the IMDb pictures of the stars in this movie old those pictures are?
Yeah, Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill is hammered, dude.
In the second scene, he's like sitting in the chair. I lead to my wife and I said, "Is that Mark Hamill?" And she goes, "No."
Yeah.
Yes.
I said, I'm pretty certain that's Mark Hamill.
Yeah, I did Luke the same thing with Paula.
Skywalker got fat.
Oh, old and fat. Now, old's okay, but this poor guy.
Well, he hasn't been doing
like a troll
on screen.
True. Yeah,
film.
He's doing voiceovers.
He's been doing,
amazing voiceovers.
Yeah.
Thank you for being the Joker.
Yeah.
Just straight out.
Yeah,
thank
yeah,
you for
yeah,
being
yeah.
the Joker.
Yeah, I second that.
And Samuel Jackson, can you imagine trying to learn to talk with a lisp?
He just hung out with Mike Tyson for a month.
Well, there you go. That's a good idea.
I am
you know you person. Thought it, Ryan.
Does anybody
I know?
Know?
I did. It was the first thing my girlfriend said, too. but at the same time, I mean, it's just the easy joke to make because that's, we know that it kind of has that sort of speech pattern. But I kind of like the way he sort of sunk into this. Yeah.
Hey, Samuel, if you're watching us,
that's
tell us
up.
How you did that.
Hey, does anybody,
that's messed up.
Does anybody actually know how long it took to make this film? Because if it was like 160 days,
no
that would be 160 days of having to keep that up.
Yeah.
No, I don't think
he was on.
Game of Thrones doesn't shoot 160 days.
I think he was on Jimmy Kimmel, and he was talking about doing that. Lisp, but I can't remember what he said.
I don't know, but you know, I actually have to say one of the things that I noticed right off the bat were how clean and well done the transitions from scene to scene were.
Oh yeah, they were smooth and they actually made sense. Where unlike some movies, we just cut to a random scene.
I mean, like right in the beginning, they do the bomb thing, which I thought was pretty cool the way they did that. I enjoyed that, but then they transitioned from being in the Middle East to being out in the snow, and I thought the way they did it was just really smooth.
Almost beyond smooth, because it wasn't done for the sake of you're not going to notice it. It was really, theatrical. It's a weird term to use, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. I really enjoyed it.
The opening scene that we talk about, and I thought that kind of set the humor. This said, wow, he was really good when he got blew up, when he got blown up.
Yeah.
So I kind of that set the stage right there for me when it's like, oh, this is going to be amusing.
Yes, and it really was. I actually have to say I really enjoyed a lot of the subtle humor.
Yeah.
That they did, and I didn't find it to be overly British humor. It was just funny stuff.
So did you guys find this to be two separate movies?
No.
I did. I felt this was two separate movies mashed together, but that's okay. It's not a bad thing. It's just, and honest to God, I went into this movie blind. I didn't know it was a comedy. I didn't know what it was. All right, let's see it.
So you talked about his personal life versus his spy life?
Well,
I can
I'm
see
just,
that. What was the second movie? Or first and second?
Well,
that's what
if you take the first part of the movie, it was more serious. I mean, it was almost like, okay, it's the real James Bond training camp type thing, right? Then the second half got super goofy.
Okay. I thought it was kind of
heads blowing up, colorful things.
I enjoyed that.
Yes.
I did too.
I really enjoyed the White House scene too, by the way.
Thank you. That was good.
You know,
I cheered out loud in theater.
So did everybody else.
Yeah, and absolutely, I loved it, the heads blowing up and all the colored puffs of smoke.
And they turned into little brains.
No, it was great.
I thought it was kind of goofy all the way through. I do think you're right, though. I think the goofiness got a little more towards the end of the movie.
They went way out. They started.
Oh, yeah, it kept ramping up throughout. You know, in the beginning, it was kind of like cute, subtle British humor. And then just about 10 minutes in, you start like understanding, like, oh, this is going to be an interesting movie.
Well, once the girl comes in, slices the guy in half, and then goes around the house and covers the bodies up, and he just says, you know, if I just see a little bit of blood, I just throw up everywhere.
Hey, by the way, when you saw
like,
that
really,
scene,
dude?
When you saw that
he was dying, he did that. He was throwing up and dying.
When I saw that scene, the first thing that popped in my head was, ooh, Ichi the Killer.
I kind of was.
That was the first thing.
So, you know, first thing I want to know is, how did they find an actress that looked that hot to wear those prosthetics?
I don't know.
How'd they do that?
I'm pretty sure they just CGI'd that in. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Something like that.
She's just running with like green boots.
Yeah.
I know. But it was pretty cool.
I love the fact they were also making fun of James Bond movies. Well, a scene later, they were doing some of the stuff they were making fun of.
Mm-hmm. The whole movie was a kind of an homage to spy movies. I was going to say it's not really two separate movies. It's sort of elements of genre mixed with this sort of new age comedy that people, it's like the Kick-Ass style of
yeah.
So does, I guess, kind of the start thing off, really, does anybody have any favorite scene? Because my favorite scene takes place in the church.
Hmm.
Right at the end of that scene where Colin Firth walks out.
Oh, this is the best quote.
You're gonna have to quote it because I don't remember.
The one where it says, "I'm a Catholic whore currently enjoying Congress out of the wedlock with my black Jewish boyfriend who works in a military abortion clinic."
Yeah.
Well, that was before. That was before that scene.
That one was pretty good.
But this scene is when they were talking about how the villain like. Ties the guy up, and the guy.
It's
gets
not
out,
that kind of movie.
And just walks up and whack shoots the guy, and I've always wanted to see
Is
that
he
in a Bond
dead?
Movie. I loved that. I was actually, finally!
See,
no monologuing.
I think that was the sensibility throughout the movie was, like, we're going to keep all the cool shit, we're going to ramp up the cool shit, but then all the stuff that was just kind of ridiculous, like, he explained the whole plot thing, and then boom. You know?
Yeah. I think it's pretty much just they were trying to go with a surreal feel of the film, which is... It's kind of what I felt they were going to do.
I didn't think they played that they did.
But, you know, it's kind of like, well I'm kind of saying like they're trying to keep it realistic, but also to have it the hyper fun gadgets and the things that everybody enjoys about Bond.
Right.
Films thrown in there with the comedy elements of Looks Could Kill.
Right. And well,
that's really what it felt like to me.
It was based on a comic book. So
yeah.
You know, that's got to say something. I mean, we all know that could go wrong with Joel Schumacher doing a comic book adaptation. there's a fine line between adding that much color. You know what I mean?
To the thing.
I mean, this got pretty psychedelic at the end with the brains popping and thing. I
it
love
did,
that
didn't
scene.
It?
Yeah.
I gotta
that
say,
worked.
Yeah, it did.
My favorite scene was when Merlin actually hacked everything, and then he's like. Oh yeah! You just see all the heads go off. That was seriously my favorite scene because it's like, really, that is freaking awesome. That's like it's like a rail gun that you get, except for just a button.
And
you just pop everybody's heads.
And don't forget, after that scene, he killed all of our Senth.
Yeah.
They literally killed every single world leader.
And
there
all
was.
The ones that thought they were going to be safe.
Yep.
Do you think I installed one of those things in my own head?
Yeah. I just thought that was just a great little thing in there, too, because, you know, he's, like, pretty much saying that he's screwed, and then he looks over, and he's like, oh, yeah, this will be fun. So, but, yeah, that to me was probably my favorite scene. Ryan, you got one?
Favorite scene? Probably the church one, because I was... I loved the part that Rob mentioned with the whole, I mean, this tailor-made, most offensive thing I could say to this individual.
Yeah.
Not this group of people, just this lady looking at me. This is how to cut right to the core.
Yeah, it was perfect.
That was great. But right after that, when he pulls the gun out, I'm like, oh, wow, he's really trying to make his point. And then he shoots her. I'm like, wow, okay, wait a second. The feeling I had turned
1,000 feet away
for a moment. And I'm like, where the fuck is this movie going? And then it sort of got explained afterwards, after this massacre.
Right.
It kind of, well, you kind of glean a little bit with the turning of the dial and whatnot, but it gets explained that it was this thing that made everybody go crazy. And I'm like, wow, okay, you dodged a big kind of bullet.
Except for her.
That got me to sit up in my chair a little bit, like, what?
It was quite a fight scene, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It really was.
And it was...
They went back to a fight technique of cinema that Mel Gibson pioneered back in Braveheart, which was impressive. He was the one that pioneered kind of the camera, not quite doing the jumping stuff, but following the action in a certain way that it's a lot more brutal.
Yeah, well,
and it's amazing.
And he used every secret weapon he had except for his shoe.
Yeah.
But they used to have phones in them. Remember that line?
which by the way, I thought was funny, considering that was one of the jokes on Get Smart.
Yes.
Right.
Which I liked.
That's why they said that. Yeah.
You know, somehow I missed going into this film knowing that this was Matthew Vaughn. I don't know how.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But
either.
Once when that came up, I'm like, that explains everything.
Yeah.
That's literally what I said. I'm like, that explains it.
Well, so if people don't know, and I'm pretty sure most of you do, is Matthew Vaughn is known for Kick-Ass, Stardust, X-Men First Class, Snatch, Fantastic Four, Kick-Ass 2, just kind of a...
What? And another one of my films that I'll be picking at some point, The Debt. If you haven't seen that one, look that one up. That's a great one.
But yeah, basically everything that's been sort of stylized in that way. I mean, really going back to Snatch, which was a kind of a freaking long time ago now, the cinematography in that was something else. The way he followed the action in that, I mean, was almost the precursor to what he was doing here.
Yeah.
And he still kept his sort of British sensibility about the whole thing.
So the other thing I think we should talk about is the training scene. Because the end of the training scene, like, really surprised me.
The dog?
Yeah.
Killing the dog or not that killing
you
the
shot
dog?
Your dog and you stuffed it?
Yeah, after it died of pancreatic cancer.
After 12 years, yeah.
Just like that. That's really messed up.
that whole training thing was funny because how much they screwed with them the whole time.
Well, that girl was bad, wasn't she? She killed her own poodle.
Yeah.
Well, it is a poodle.
Tried to.
You know, I knew it was a blank. I knew they were going to pull the blank thing again, you know. And I think most fans of spy films and things like that knew that. And I told Jen, as soon as they picked the puppy, I'm like, they're going to have to kill it. And she's just like, what? I said, yeah, they're going to have to kill it. She's like, no, I will hate this movie.
So they said there was a shotgun in there. I'm assuming it's a 410.
Yes.
Well, the barrel on the bottom wasn't a flashlight. That looked like a little bolt-action 12-gauge.
That would be painful.
Yes. That would
for everyone involved.
There'd be nothing fun about shooting a 12-gauge handgun.
No, yeah. That'd be a small, you know, like, rolled steel cannon at the barrel of that thing. I mean, the weight would be all front-heavy.
Well, just hope you don't limp-wrist it. You'll break it.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, it was this train. I want you to know that wasn't me.
But like I say, the cast in this movie was amazing. I mean, Colin Firth, Samuel Jackson, Michael Caine.
I'm loving this kid who I've never freaking seen before.
Eggie?
And couldn't really find much about him. He hasn't really been in much other than, you know, like one or a couple of British things. But, I mean, this kid's going to be, like, in a lot of stuff now, I think. Holding a movie like this the way he did.
Holy crap, I was just flipping through trivia. I don't know if this is completely true, but the picture's big climatic fight sequence set inside a church with a full congregation was shot in just one take.
Wow, that's an amazing amount of moving parts.
Amazing.
Wow. Okay, so now I'm going to buy the DVD just so I can watch that part.
So to do right? one take, they obviously had to choreograph this.
Oh, yeah.
They so, had a, you know, whoever choreographed it did a hell of a job.
I know.
Where'd they find that many, you know, old people? That
I don't know. If, you know, like I said, I don't know if that's completely true, but that's amazing.
I would have loved to have been in that fight scene. if you got to phone
set up a little bit.
Yeah,
so
I
could have been doing it all like 3/4 speed and then, you know.
Yeah, they could have.
Easier.
Yeah. All right. Anyways.
I just want to be in that fight scene. If you do another one like that, call me up. I'll come in.
Yeah, I'd gladly be in the next congregation.
Yeah.
I was going to mention the desk on there where he had to put his hand on there. I want to know how it hurt him, you know, because he kept saying it was hot.
Well, you know, it's like those electric things that you cook on where you put a conductive pan on it and the heat gets transferred. It was just like that, except it was skin.
Because when I originally saw it, I was thinking, well, maybe it was like Men in Black. Maybe he's getting handprints removed. No, it's a scanner, like for a thumbprint, but his whole hand.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I loved the gag where he had to keep it on there the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently, he never thought of just kind of rompo peeling it and, you know, set it and forget it.
Right.
He probably just didn't want it going off.
He was a control freak. He wanted to control everything. That's why it had to be him and his whole hand.
Yeah. So you're right. This kid really hasn't done anything except for this, pretty much this film.
No, and he'll.
Except for something in the smoke. I don't know what the smoke is.
Yeah, it's just like a couple of British things, smoke. Like BBC shows almost or something, but.
Well, the other one was the guy who played Merlin, Mark Strong. You know, he was in Tinker Toy Soldier, Sherlock, yes. Body of Lies, Kick-Ass. I'll be honest. If this guy doesn't seem to have been doing a whole lot, but he's done a lot of really good stuff.
Yeah.
Everything that you've seen him in, you've liked him in.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he's, never mind. He's been a lot. It's in 84, but some of this stuff I haven't seen. I'm going to have to watch him closer now.
Yeah, he's a character actor, so he's going to blend.
He did very well. Very well.
Yeah, so I'm curious. What do you guys give it?
I give it a 5 out of 5. Okay. I really liked this, and I think that the thing where it did better than If Looks the Kill, it managed to toe the line between entertaining comedy and action. It wasn't overly cheesy. Overall, I think they did really good. What about you, Ryan?
I have to agree. This was a really wicked fun movie. Like, I went to go see it at 11 o'clock at night after I got off from work all day and was like, well, I'm probably going to fall asleep halfway through. And I was up and like totally into it. I love this movie.
James?
You know, the reason why I set the half points at the beginning of the show is because it's a 4.5. I can't go 5. It just doesn't feel right for me for it to be a 5, but it doesn't feel right for it to just be straight a 4.
I kind of think they nailed it down.
I agree. I think they nailed it, but I don't think it just didn't go over that little
hump.
So hump at the end.
I can guess.
I have a corny level. I mean, it gets. I get to a movie where a movie is too corny.
So I didn't think that was this bad. This movie was that bad.
Well, don't get me wrong. I loved it. I mean, I thought it was great. I laughed through it. I mean, it was fun watching the heads blow up and everything going on. But as far as the movie goes for me, I'll stick to a 4.
Okay.
That's not bad. I was going to say if you gave
thought it, I was going to do a 3, didn't you?
Well, yeah, because I was actually in a rebuttal saying this movie was actually less cheesy than all of Pierce Brosnan's Bonds combined.
Yeah, okay. But that was a problem because they were supposed to be not cheesy. they were supposed to be the real thing, you know?
Denise Richards, you know, being a nuclear scientist by the name of Christmas Jones, you know.
Oh, that was perfect as far as I'm concerned. I like Denise.
That's okay. I'm a Roger Moore fan myself, but...
Really?
Know. Yeah.
You didn't know that?
You know what? Me and James had this conversation many years ago.
Yeah, we've had this conversation.
Oh, all right. So we have to put that back in the thing because we need to talk Bond here.
So next...
We can get into some Bonds.
So
Yeah.
So next we're going to do is we're going to actually pick the TV series we're going to be doing. And
so explain to the audience in this old guy again so we know.
Roger Moore was the person that they were supposed to hire to do the Bonds. He wasn't available. Wrong. Sean Connery took a
Wrong thing. Oh, he's talking about the TV series.
Oh, that one I knew.
He knew that one.
I knew that.
I was getting into it.
You're ready for it. He's gearing up. We're going to have a Bond off.
By the way, he was alive. He was alive when Sean Connery was doing Bond.
Absolutely. I saw it when I saw Goldfinger, Dr. No, when it came out in the theaters. You guys weren't even thought of.
So what we're doing is we all picked what we did is we all picked a TV show that we haven't seen or maybe seen the first episode. And it has to be at least one season in order for it to qualify. And we're doing old school.
Check this out.
But apparently we robbed a bingo hole.
Yeah, I
we got a real
for the production value.
We got
some
a real
old
ladies
really pissed off.
Right? Crank that handle, Jonathan. Get that thing.
So by the
up.
Way, I'm really sorry for you poor people listening to the audio.
No, it shows you the real thing.
Oh, we lost one.
Right now,
oh, we lost another one.
Oh, wait a minute. We got to start again.
There's one down there.
Which one do you
Where
use?
Is it?
Oh, it works better for bingo balls.
We got to go a little slower.
Not for pieces of paper.
No, it's just Yep, there's one.
All right. Try it again. Maybe
so
a little
gotta
slower.
So we've got to go a little slower. This poor old ladies are going to be really pissed. Be broke.
Sorry, that's my
all right,
hip.
Good enough. Who's picking it? Jonathan?
How the hell do you get this damn thing open?
Twist it.
You have to be smarter than what you're using.
What should have picked, you know, all the gosh.
God, please let me see something good.
As he digs for the one hiding in the corner.
Lie to me?
Oh, I wasn't really wanting that one.
So, okay. Right. Well, do you want
Tim Roth?
Well, here's the question. I can repick one more.
I'm good with it.
Let's do this. Since we haven't really talked this whole time.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen either.
Well, I've seen the first episode when it came out.
Let's pick two. All right. And if the first, we'll go with this one for the first one. Next week. And
Ryan's
if it's
heard
just
of lying
so
to me.
Freaking bad, we can't stand it. We'll go with pick number two.
Okay. I'm good with that.
All right.
I'm going to laugh if it's fine again.
I want it to be the one that I...
Mad Men.
Damn it.
Was yours a... James again? You haven't seen Mad Men?
Nope.
Oh, crap.
Oh, great. Rob's seen it.
Of course.
Means I got to watch it.
Well, you know what? You could be our what do you call it? Conduit to the 60s.
Madman? I'll be your conduit to what the fuck were you thinking?
So ladies and gentlemen, I want to
see it.
Ladies and gentlemen, hopefully there's a lady watching. Let you know we do have a Facebook page. You love us.
Hi Liz,
us.
Hi Laura. Whichever. Paula.
Where's that phone a friend? He didn't even call.
Bastard, shut up so I can finish this. Do you love us, hate us?
John cusses.
Do you want us to do another movie? How about pause for the cause and donate to Old Guy Tech TV so we can continue doing this? And so I've got some movie news.
I got something to talk about, too.
Give me a second here, because...
So while he's doing that...
Wait, nope, I got it. Wait, hold on, nope. The first thing I want to do is recognize a couple of... celebrities who had passed away.
Aww.
Shirley Temple.
One being Shirley Temple, who not only did was a child actress up into her teens.
Shirley Temple Black.
Annie. Great film.
She also did. She was also had a long career as a diplomat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, she did.
And the other one was Louis Jordan. Anybody recognize the name Jordan? He was he was the former Bond villain in Octopussy.
Nope.
Died at 93.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I remember. Okay.
The French guy, right?
Yeah.
So, wanted Old Guy Tech and Real Flix Reviews wanted to recognize the loss, especially of Shirley Temple, who I'm almost positive everybody has seen at least one thing she's done.
No, not nowadays, but...
you're not raising your kids right.
That might have been the most precocious child to ever live, for sure.
And with that being said, I wanted to do this because I just found this. Kingsman 2 could bring back a pivotal character.
Okay. Probably Colin Firth.
Bingo.
Well, yeah, that would make sense.
So okay. That was my movie news. I thought
it
was pretty
funny.
I wouldn't
mind, too. A second.
I like seeing Colin Firth in something a little more playful. Yeah. You know, because to me, he's just the King's Speech guy.
Yeah, yeah, which was a great film.
And apparently,
that he did. Unbelievable, but he's just, he plays that so well that just...
That's him, right.
Yeah, yeah. That's him.
He stepped way out of character to do this.
And apparently it pissed a lot of people off that he died in the end. And I'm like, you know, this kind of fits this style of movie. Bringing him back, on the other, doesn't. So I'm looking forward to...
A dream sequence.
It's probably just people from the comic book that are just cranky.
A dream sequence.
Douchebags.
Oh, jeez. So,
old TV reference.
So, Dan Aykroyd has stepped out and is not backing this Ghostbusters film.
He is actually
hinting at a real Ghostbusters film coming out by him.
So,
that's okay. Well, I have a couple of thoughts here. One, Dan Aykroyd's a nut.
I love Dan Aykroyd, though.
He's crazy.
I love him to death. But he's kind of a nut now. He makes a lot of vodka and some wild claims about aliens.
He does, yeah.
That being said, I don't know if he could really helm in any way without just hiring the right people.
I think the problem is how is he going to raise the money to do...
That's exactly my point. Who's going to give him a lot of money to make his own when this one's about to come out?
Right.
That's the problem, is that he has been known in the past to have had... bunch of scripts and ideas for a remake of Ghostbusters, and it hasn't come to be.
Well, part of the reason I've been reading over the year is because of Bill Murray. He just never wanted to do it. Well, he was the sole reason on the last one that never went through, because it was really close to being greenlighted.
Yeah. He's been the reason that they waited so long. I mean, this has been talked about for probably going on 7-8 years now. You know, the idea of really doing the reboot. I'm sure there's been 3 or 4 different scripts sent to Bill Murray, but he's always been the holdout.
Yeah.
You know, there was this little rumor that, oh, he might actually be doing it. Then next thing you know, it's 4 women who, okay, fine. But to me, the Ghostbusters isn't about men or women. It's about those 4 specific dudes, one of which is gone now. So
yeah. Well,
here's the thing that I find interesting. So just doing a really quick look up on IMDb about the new Ghostbusters. According to this, the writing credits are Dan Aykroyd, who also wrote the original with Harold Ramis, who's on here, but Katie Diepold and Paul Feig. So here's the problem: is Dan Aykroyd actually partially responsible for this script?
I know.
Right, but he's crazy now.
Oh yeah, he's fucking nuts. To be blunt,
Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Yeah, he is.
He's crazier than $3 bill crazy.
In like a conspiracy theory way.
Yeah.
Him and
watches too many weird YouTube videos.
Him and Jesse the Body Ventura.
But you know, I would be more interested in seeing a more traditional Ghostbusters than this.
Yeah.
And I really
have no Ghostbusters without those guys.
Thank you.
I agree. The argument I've been hearing about this, and we did address it, was about the reason why people don't want to see one with women is because it's sexist. That, you know, that's the argument I've heard against.
What?
Yeah, is because
not sexist. What is?
That men not wanting to see a Ghostbusters with women.
Oh, the viewpoint is because the men are sexist. That's why we don't want to see it.
Yeah.
No. I want to see the one with those guys. You know what I mean? Anybody who doesn't want to see 4 women is just insane and dumb.
Well, I got one thing to say. I didn't vote for Obama, and I'm not racist.
But I'll be.
Yeah, I mean, it's just.
That's the same thing.
And I'll be completely honest, if Rick Moranis isn't in Dan Aykroyd's new Ghostbusters, it'll still suck.
I'm just saying,
so my question is,
the reason the first one was funny is because of their performances.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You can't capture that lightning in a bottle and just, you know, film whatever and then slap the Ghostbusters name on it.
Especially without Harold Ramis. Well, they need to just retire it. Sorry.
So what are they, so I understand, is this a carryover or this is just like a remake? We're going to start at the same period of time.
Yeah, from what I've heard, it's a complete reboot.
Yeah, they're rebooting Shaft too. That's all the rest of the news is just they're rebooting this, they're rebooting that.
So...
That's the news. That's the movie news out there.
And it's starring Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, which I'll be honest, I really don't like, but that's me.
I'm not a fan.
Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones, who I don't know if I've heard of.
Well, yeah, anyway, I
really haven't heard of any of them, and I'm not really interested to hear of them now.
I don't know. I have such mixed reviews. I mean, I'm willing to give them a chance, but you're talking about an iconic movie, right? And you're going to throw these women into it at what period of time? And I guess what decade are they supposed to be?
I'm assuming it'll be modern day.
Okay, so now they're the new Ghostbusters and all the other guys retired?
I'm assuming it's a complete reboot.
Dead or retired? I don't know.
I don't know. And not even mention them. See, that's going to be the problem. How are they going to handle that?
Yeah.
So you want me to get John's panties
they're
in a real bunch?
They're just going to pretend like it's a new movie. That's what they're going to do.
They're rebooting or, quote unquote, reimagining Aliens.
Mm-hmm. I knew that.
Aren't you excited?
So,
not really.
Why is it that I feel like I'm constantly pounding my fist on this table and saying, when is Hollywood going to stop remaking movies? And, there's got to be a lot of great writers out there writing scripts that are just not getting done.
Yeah, we just see them all in the movie shorts.
They're either not getting promoted very well because the budget basically went to making the movie and not to advertising the movie, mm-hmm. or it's such a big budget that the studio doesn't want to throw their money behind something that they're not semi-familiar with. Therefore, they go with sort of this formulaic safe bet. Even if something's good and really good, and it doesn't fit sort of the formula of what they think, people are watching today, they won't fucking make the move. It's become a business about like a math equation. Yeah. Or
like we've said before, though, this is why the type of movies to watch now are the independent movies. And the mileage.
It's so hard to wade through all the bullshit because everybody with a $1,000 camera can go shoot something and get distribution on the internet.
Well, no, I agree.
Finding it just as easy as you're finding Avatar.
No, I agree. The mileage may vary a lot. But I do think if you find a good independent film, I do think it'll be better than a lot of Hollywood movies because I think its ideas, its styles, or even themes they don't mix normally. Okay.
Of course, yeah. You're definitely going to get more substance, generally speaking, out of the independent movies. But you're sacrificing all the other stuff that you've kind of come to like about production value.
Yeah, mileage may vary a lot. And so next week we're starting our new theme for the month on sci-fi. And I don't remember, did we pick any sci-fi?
I think it's any sci-fi.
So I'm picking a movie called Outland, 1981, with Sean Connery.
Oh, I haven't
Outland.
Seen
Outland.
Okay, not Outlander, but
no,
Outland.
No, Outland.
Okay.
Outland.
So if you want me to read what it's about?
No, not until next week.
But so it's Outland with Sean Connery and Peter Boyle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm confused. We're doing a TV series, and we're doing Outland.
We're doing the first episode of Lie to Me.
Yeah.
And Outland.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Do me a favor, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Remind me.
I'll do my best.
Remember, I'm going to walk from this into my office, and I will completely forget what we just talked about.
So I gave the movie Kingsmen, The Secret Service, a 5 out of 5. James gave it a 4.5 out of 5, the first half point. Ryan gave it a 5 out of 5. Rob gave it a 4 out of 5. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.